right. Well, good evening. My name is Travis Phillips. I'm the lead pastor here at Antioch Community Church, and so glad that you have chosen to come and worship the Lord here together, and we pray that this feels like family to you. And our desire is that we would be in the presence of God together and that we would each leave here changed. And because we just believe, how can you not? If God is who he says he is, if he is the living God, how can we come and enter into his presence and not leave changed? And so that's an exciting thing. And but before we get going, I want to give a couple of announcements. First of all, we mentioned this last week, but we have a church-wide mission trip coming up in July. And the dates for that is July 4th through the 7th. And I think we have a couple of clipboards, is what they're called, that are going to be passed around. And we're wanting to get more information to you on this trip. So there's going to be clipboards coming around in this, around for the service. Make sure that those continue to get passed throughout so that everybody gets a chance to sign up. And we're not asking you to commit to going tonight, but we're asking you to sign up if you feel like this is something that you'd like to do and would like to have more information on it. What we're trying to do is get a better idea of how many people will be going, so it helps us with our price estimations, because that has a big part of playing into what the price is, how many people are going. And since this is our first church-wide mission trip, we are wanting to get an idea of how many people. We are thinking that it's going to be around $350, and that would include your food, transportation, lodging, everything that you would need. And then there will be special family pricing as well to go along with that. But we're excited. We're going to be joining up with the church in Tijuana, and we've got a sister church in San Diego that has been working with these guys for the past several years and taking their church down there, and have had a wonderful experience working together with this church. It's I believe the largest church in Tijuana, very missions minded. So we are going to be going in there and in the mornings having time together, worshiping God, getting into his word in a very practical way. Then in the afternoons doing some kind of service opportunity in the city, and then in the early evening going to be doing outreaches in neighborhood parks, and then being able to pass along the people that decide to follow Christ. So it's a great opportunity. We're excited about doing it together, and we will be getting more information in your hands. Again, that's July 4th through 9th. So we're hoping that for those of you who would need to be taking off 4th through 7th, sorry. For those of you that would need to be taking off work, that would possibly be 0 days if you're getting the Thursday and Friday, or maybe just one day. But we're excited about that. So just sign up on that email if that's something you're interested in, and we will get you more details and more information soon, because if you don't have your passport, you do need that now to go into Mexico, and so you'll be needing your passport to go on that trip. So we're excited. Today is fun because we get to have ascending service, all right? So we're going to be sending some people out. You may be surprised who all that includes, but the group that we're specifically going to be sending out is our training school. We have had the privilege of beginning an Antioch training school this year, and in just a moment, I'm going to introduce to you who is in the school. But before we do that, I want to read out of Matthew 28. If you want to turn there with me, Matthew 28, I want to read verses 18 through 20. This evening, not only are we having a sending service, but we are also bringing to a close the series that we've been in basically over the course of this semester, called Field of Dreams. And I believe that tonight God wants to show you that field of dreams for you. The field where God has dreams for your life, the field that you are called to influence and have an impact upon. And so but tonight we are culminating this series, and for a lot of the series we've been talking about Matthew 28, specifically at the beginning of the series, and I want to read that to you and just recap what God's been speaking to us out of these verses. It says, beginning in verse 18, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So there's a few important things that we grasp out of this passage. First of all, this is one of the last things that Jesus communicated to his followers before he ascended into heaven. And so this is something significant. And it's often referred to as the Great Commission, because it was Jesus commissioning, giving authority to his followers. And we see that all authority on heaven and on earth was given to Jesus. And then we see him conferring that authority upon his followers. And so if you are a follower of Jesus and you're sitting here tonight, you can know that the authority that was given Jesus, he passes along to you. And specifically, that authority is given to you to go and make disciples of all nations. Maybe a better translation of that is actually, as you go, make disciples. So wherever you are going, wherever that takes you, whatever field, occupation, groupings of people that life takes you into, you are to be, as you go, you are to be making disciples. That's the call of God upon every one of our lives, that we are to make disciples specifically by, I should know this by heart, but by teaching them everything that Jesus has taught. And so that, we know, is a lifestyle of modeling, because Jesus didn't only teach. What people learn more from his life is probably by the way he modeled living his life. Yes, he spoke it. He spoke with clarity. He spoke with authority, but he also modeled a life that was lived for God. And also it says baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that people would identify with Jesus, that they would identify with him, that their life would be marked by this fact, that who they were is in the past, that what they used to live for, and that with their selfish desires, they are now turning their back on that. They're dying to that way, and now they are living for God. That's really what baptism represents. It is dying to who I used to be, what I used to live for, and now it's living for God and for his purposes, knowing that that is going to bring me life. And so the last thing we're told in this Great Commission passage is, surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Because the task that we're given is not an easy task, but we are assured that no matter where this life of going and making disciples takes us, that Jesus will be there. And that's what we need to know. We need to know that he is good, and that he, if he is with us, all things are possible. That if he is with me, I can be at peace. I can have hope. I can have joy. And I can not only possess that myself, but I can take that into every situation that I find myself. No matter what my home life is like, no matter what my situation at work is like, I can take the peace and the hope and the joy of God into that situation, and it can absolutely make a difference there. And so that is the Great Commission. And so that is the commission, the conferring of authority that Jesus has had with you and with me. And so we're excited today to send out the training school. I want to invite these guys up. You can hold your applause till the end, if there is applause. I'm sure there will be, because these are awesome people. I shouldn't call him up first. I'll make him stand as little as possible. Oh, you can come on up. That's fine. So we have, let's see. I'll wait till they get up here. Come on up. Awesome. Let me get out of the way. All right. We are blessed. We as a church staff feel blessed. Is everybody? Are we missing somebody? Miles. He was here. All right. So we have, I just want to introduce these guys to you. First, Tanya Paragas down at the end. Josue Ramirez, Sara Ramirez, Katrina Savastano. Let's see if I can do all the last names too. Maddie Slusher, Stephen Law, Michael Reynolds, Joshua Hill, and Will Boswick, and Miles Diaz is around here. Maybe he had to go to work. I'm not sure. But these guys, they're a wonderful group of men and women. And when we came out here to start this church, we felt like God was saying that this valley is fertile soil. And there was two ways that we felt like we were to interpret that thing that God was speaking over this land. One was that there are people hungry to know God, to know the truth of who Jesus is, and to know the love of God's Father heart. And the second thing was that there were people here looking to run with God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That wanted to run after him, that wanted to know his character and live for him all their days. And that's who these men and women are. And we feel like that God gave us these to encourage us. 9 months into starting this church, actually just a couple of months in, we felt like God said, you need to start a training school. We always knew that's something that we wanted to do. However, We didn't know how soon that would happen. Well, a couple months into the church, and some of you have heard me share this story, we had a service with about 30 or 40 people in the room and decided that we were going to have a prayer time. And specifically, I invited anyone forward who had a call to missions, that felt like God had stirred their heart for the mission field. And in that service, there was about 15 people that came forward. Now, 15 people is only a handful. We almost have that many standing up here today. However, in a room of 30 or 40 people, that was a significant amount. That was it was a very holy moment where we felt like God was saying, before you've hardly even gotten traction here, I am showing you that I am giving you people that have a heart for the nations of the earth, that have a heart to share my love with those around them. And so it was from that moment on that we felt like God was saying, you are to start a training school the second year of your church. And we were blown away by the men and women that God sent our way, who said, we want to be a part of what is going on here. We want to be a part of what God is doing in this valley and around the world. And we're so proud of these guys. And we're specifically sending them out this morning. I also want to have Andy Salsky come up and Crystal Peach to come on forward. Andy has been directing the school. Crystal is on staff with the training school. And so they've been leading these guys. And this composes the trip that we're leaving on for this week. So we're heading to the Middle East and going to be teaming up with some Antioch long-term workers there. To see more people come to know Christ. They're seeing a great move of God in the Arab Muslim world right now, an unprecedented move of people coming to Jesus. And we feel like God has invited us to come and be a part of it, that we have a role to play. They'll be over there. Crystal and I will just be there for 2 weeks. The rest of the team will be there for an entire month. And they're going to be sowing the seeds of the kingdom, sharing the gospel. We're going to get trained in what it looks like to do that there, how they've been seeing fruit happen. And then we are just going to be like a large net that sweeps over the area that we're going to find those that are hungry, to find those that are searching for truth, that are searching for God. And so we're excited to do that. And so what we're going to do is we want to pray over this trip as well as over each of these guys individually. And so I want to go ahead and invite you up. If you guys can spread out a little bit, I want to invite you up. If you know these guys or if you are in their life group, we want to have people come up here and just pray for them. And then I'll close this in just a moment. So obviously we can be praying over this team that it would be a fruitful trip, that not only would we see God move in the nations that we're going to, but also move in each of our hearts, praying for safety, praying for details to be worked out. But why don't we go ahead and as you gather around them, you can just begin praying over these guys. Lord, we're thankful for this group of men and women that you are raising up for a time such as this. We thank you for the plans and purposes you have for their lives, not only here over the next month, but even beyond. And Lord, I pray that this next month would be a significant mark in their journey, that there will be things that you show them, things that you teach them in these days that will stay with them for the rest of their days, that you would use them this week. You would use them to reach those that are searching, that are longing to know the truth of who God is, that you would use them to encourage followers of Jesus there. And Lord, that you would stir in them your heart for the peoples of the earth, your heart for their lives and the way that you are going to use them. Lord, we pray for your divine hand of protection. Father, that you would go before and that you would come from behind, that you would surround each one of these men and women as we go, and that we would be covered and protected. Lord, we thank you that you are sending us, and every place that you send us, you go with us. We love you, God, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Peeking in my nose. All right, that's good. Now it's your turn, all right? So we're going to continue the sending service. And as we conclude this series, that really is, I believe, the heart of God, that each one of us would feel sent, that we would feel sent by God, that there is purposes and plans. We might not be going on a specific mission trip for a month, but there is a place that God is sending us. For some of you, he's about to send you college students back home for the summer. For some of you, he's sending you back into your workplace, back into the environments which you've come, but he is sending you with a purpose. He is sending you with a hope and with a joy and with a peace to take into those situations. And so what we want to do is just receive the authority that God wants to give us for those situations. He wants to confer authority on us, kind of like the knighting service, you know, or the knighting, maybe it's not called a service, but the knighting thing, you know? He just wants to, knight you and say, okay, rise up and go now. I'm sending you in. And so we want to receive that. And specifically in the light of 2 Corinthians 6:2, which has been our guiding kind of theme verse throughout the semester. And it says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. Paul has been talking about an Old Testament passage that speaks to this, and he pulls it into the present and says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. It's the day of his salvation. And we really believe that for this valley. We really believe that because of what Jesus has done. And so we want to ask the question, God, how are we to be a part of it? If this is the time of your favor, how am I to enter in? How am I to be a part of seeing your salvation come, of seeing people experience your favor, that you love them, that you are for them? How am I to be a part of that? And that's the question that we want to answer tonight. And I want to do it by looking at a story about a man named Gideon. And it comes from the book of Judges, chapter 6 and 7. And I really want to tell you the story. There's going to be a few verses in there that I want to read, but I want to give you the background as well. So Israel is the nation of God's chosen people. They had followed God in a number of different ways. God had led them. He's used people to lead them. God himself showed up and led them. And they're in a season now without a real leader. And in this time, they have turned their back on God. So much so that they began to worship foreign gods. They built they built idols and they would bow down and worship to these foreign gods. And they just kind of made it a mix of all these gods that they worship. And in that time, they were heavily oppressed by foreign lands. There would be foreign armies that would come and just destroy their land. They would kill their livestock. And so the Israelites were in hiding. They literally built their homes into mountain caves, trying to hide from the oppression from these people that would come in and take and destroy their land. And it was in that season that the book of Judges tells us that there was a great cry that rose up from the Israelites, a great prayer to God saying, save us. God, we are in trouble. We've got to have your mercy. You've got to change our situation. And we were told that God heard their prayer. And when God heard their prayer, he initiated with a man named Gideon. And Gideon was just a normal guy. Everything that we know about Gideon was average to below average. In fact, where we find Gideon, God initiates with him in hiding, which they all were doing, but he was treading out grain, which you're supposed to do out in the open air so that the wind can blow away that which you don't want. And he was doing it down in a wine cellar. And so we see that he was in hiding. And so very normal, average guy, and God initiates with him. And this is what he says to him in Judges 6, verse 14. It says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you. There's a couple of significant things here about responding to the initiation of God. Because that's what God is doing with us tonight. He is initiating with you and wanting to send you. And so this is how we see God initiating. First off, he said the Lord spoke about the very place of Gideon's doubt before Gideon expressed it. The Lord said, go in the strength that you have. And then Gideon says, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest and I'm the least in my clan. And he begins to speak about his weakness. And the great thing about walking with God is that the invitation is to go in the strength that you have. Go in the strength that you currently have. You don't have to arrive. You don't have to work your way up to a certain position or a certain level of spirituality or some measure that you have in your mind before you can be sent or used by God. He approaches Gideon and says, go in the strength that you have. And in many ways, that is the great equalizer. It's the great equalizer. It doesn't matter how gifted or talented you are, how great you are, what a wonderful charismatic type of personality you have. The question is, are you going in the strength that you have? Are you being faithful with what God has given you? And so let there be no excuse in our hearts and our minds tonight in the area of I'm just not there yet. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to really follow God. I'm not ready to respond to his initiation. God comes to you in the beginning, knowing your fears, knowing your weaknesses, and says, go in the strength, go in the grace that I've given you. Go in the strength, go in the grace that I've given you. He spoke to the place of his weakness before Gideon even said it out loud. The next thing he says is, am I not sending you? Am I not sending you? And probably that phrase, that question, along with the last phrase that it says, the Lord answered, I will be with you. Am I not sending you? And then also, will I not be with you? I mentioned it earlier, but everywhere that God sends us, he will be with us. He goes with us. We heard it in the words of Jesus at the Great Commission. As I'm sending you, as I'm conferring this authority on you to go, will I not be with you? And so so God makes it very clear to Gideon that I am sending you and I will be with you. And that is the great answer to man's weakness. That is the great answer to how unsure you are of yourself. Is that God says, I'm with you. I'm with you, and that is more than enough. It's more than enough. So from there, Gideon begins to respond to God. He asks God to reveal himself. He wants to make sure that if he is supposed to take on this foreign army of the Midianites, that it really is God saying this, and it's not something crazy that he's thinking up in his mind. And so God begins to show that. God confirms it in several different ways that, no, this is what I am calling you to. And so Gideon begins to follow God. And in fact, he begins to send out the word that we're gonna raise up an army to come against those that have been attacking us. And so there's something that happened right there in Gideon's life. One thing that he did is he began to call people to follow God, and he went and he cut down and burned these idols. And so they asked, who did this? They found out that it was Gideon, and they came after him. And then Gideon's father stood up and said, hey, if this God is real, let him defend himself. Why do you have to come and defend him? Let him strike Gideon down if he did something wrong. And so they changed Gideon's name, and he became Jerubbaal, which is one that contends with Baal. And so there was a name change. There was something that marked who Gideon was, and his life began to change, that he is one that was going to contend for the things of God. No longer was he going to be a man that lived in fear or in weakness, but God had now marked him to contend for the things of God. What is God calling you to contend for? And that's going to be different for different people in this room. But what is supposed to mark your life? And is it marking your life? Is faithfulness supposed to mark your life? Faith, extreme faith in God, passion, mercy, kindness, honor, righteousness, purity. You could go on and on. What are the things that are meant to mark your life? That you're to take into situations, you're to influence others with. God wants to set a mark upon your life. I think about like the family crest, and it has different meanings. God wants to establish your family crest and who it is that he has called you to be. He's wanting to give you a name of who you are and the things that you're meant to accomplish. So what are those things? And then you hold that name up. You hold that calling of God up, and you run after it. God speaks it to you, and you set that as an aim, as a goal for your life, that is who I am meant to be. Whether I feel like it today, I'm meant to be a man of strength, a man of valor, a man of courage for the purposes of God. I feel weak today, but I know that's who I am. That's who God has said I am. And so that's the place that I'm going to fix my gaze upon. That's the thing that I'm going to run after. And so we want to say, God, what is our name? What is the mark that you're wanting to place upon my life to make a difference in this world? In Judges 7, we see the story continue. So Gideon finds 32,000 men that will follow him into battle. 32,000. And with that number, they are outnumbered. However, God says, actually, I'm gonna reduce this number, because I don't want Israel getting the false notion that they won this battle themselves, that they would take pride in winning this battle. So here's what I want you to do, Gideon. I want you to take that army of 32,000 men, and I want you to announce to them that anyone that doesn't want to fight, that is fearful, that wants to go back home, that they are released to do so. 22,000 of them left. So 22,000 of the 32,000 left and went home. That leaves, if my math is right, 9,700. So now there's 9,700. And God says, that's actually still too many. I don't want a trace of pride or arrogance that would cause the people of Israel not to come back to me. And so he says, this is what we're going to do. Actually, God just says, I need you to trust me. He says to Gideon in Judges 7:4, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. And this is the way it is with God. Trust me. Take step by step. I want you to trust me. And so they get down to the water, and Gideon, and the Lord says, all those that went down to the water and began to drink like a dog would, just got on all fours and just stuck their head in and started drinking, those guys can go home. All the ones that cupped water in their hands and began drinking like this, those are going to stay. Well, there was only 300 that did that. So 9,400 more were asked to go home. And there were 300 that stayed there with Gideon. With those 300, Gideon began to become fearful again. We saw it before, and God was merciful. This is what God said to him. He said to him in Judges 7, verses 9, it says, during that night, right after God kind of sifted 99% of the army, he says to Gideon, get up and go down against the camp because I am giving it into your hands. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. And so God was merciful, even with Gideon's fear, even though God had very much and very clearly demonstrated that he was leading Gideon, there was still fear. And God was like, that's okay. I want to encourage you. I'm going to lead you through this process. And so they go down to the camp, and they overhear these two guys talking. So the first they just come down, they're kind of being sneaky, they hear these two guys talking, and one of them is telling the other about a dream he had. And in this dream, it was like this big barley loaf of bread came rolling through their camp and rolling over them. And the other guy interpreted the dream and said, surely that is Gideon and the Israelites coming to destroy us. And so Gideon goes back, and it says that when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. There was faith in his heart, and he rounded up the 300 men, and they fought the battle as God led. And that was by all of them getting a clay pot. So they all had a clay pot, and they all had a torch, and they all had a trumpet, okay? And they went, and they surrounded the camp. And so they had to spread, for 300 of them to surround the camp, they had to really spread wide. Because it says it was like they were ants filling this valley. And so they split up into three companies to get around the edges of the camp. And on Gideon's signal, they blew the trumpets, they crushed the pots, and they held up their torches. And when that happened, the enemy's camp went into mass confusion and began to fight against one another, and then ultimately began to flee. And those 300 men began to pursue them. And then other Israelites heard about it and began to pursue that army back to where they came from. And so here are the things, as I share that story, that I feel like are very applicable for us tonight. First of all, fear is a very real thing. And I believe that it's something that God is wanting to overcome in our hearts tonight. But we do not want to miss out on the victories of God. We absolutely do not want to miss out on the victories of God. For those 22,000 men that went back home, that said, we really don't want to fight this battle if we don't have to, if we're given the out, where there was fear that was rising up in them. For some of us, I believe that the first response is, man, that's where I'd be. I mean, if they gave me an out, I'd rather not die today. You know, I'd rather not have to risk my life in this venture. And we would want to go home. But the thing that we need to remember is that as God calls us, he is with us. And there, we sang it tonight, and so it's kind of putting it into practice. And if he's calling us, there's nowhere else that we would rather be. There's nowhere else that we would rather be. And we don't want to miss out on the victories of God. As I was reading through this passage, I was thinking, wow, yeah. Without thinking of the victory and just thinking of a battle, I'm like, gosh, if I had the option, yeah, maybe I'd want to go back home. But we have to set our eyes on the victory, that there is a victory in God that he wants to accomplish through your life. And you don't want to miss out on the victories of God. You want to be one of the 300 that says, yeah, we were there. We just broke these pots. And then God just like started sending them into mass confusion. And then we just began to follow. We thought it was crazy that there would be 300 of us coming up against, but God. And then was victorious. And that's what you want to be a part of. That's what you were made and created to be a part of. The other 9,700 were dismissed by the way they drank water. And the interpretation that I've often read on this particular passage speaks of excellence. That there were 9,700 that put their eyes down and just drank into the water, and there were 300 that kept their eyes on their surroundings because the Midianites were just below them. Though they hadn't engaged in battle, the enemy was not far off. And so these guys went down and knelt down at the water, but they continued to engage. And so it spoke of the excellence of these 300 men and the way that they were trained and the way that they were diligent to keep their eyes fixed on their surroundings. And so we want to be excellent in the way that we pursue God. We want to pursue a diligence. We want to be vigilant. We want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We want to continually increase in our passion for Jesus and for his purposes in the earth. That's what we want to fix our eyes on. And the last thing that I really want to point out here is that obedience to God is an act based on trust, not an act based on understanding. We don't always understand God. We don't always understand why he would say to do something in particular. But what we have to do is come to a place with God where we trust him, where we just really believe that he is good, and that if he leads us somewhere, it is for our good. It's not about understanding it. It's not about it working out logically. It's not about us being successful in our career or financially. It's about trusting God and walking with him and being close to him. And so my prayer is that tonight we would put our hope in God. We would put our trust in him at a greater level. And I want to encourage you to take the strength that you have and to follow God through the process. Just like Gideon did, there was a process. And all along the way, God was gracious. Hey, if you're still fearful, walk down here. Let me give you some encouragement. And that encouragement will lead you worshiping God, ready and able to operate in faith. And so tonight, we want to respond to God. We want to say, God, we receive that knighthood. We receive this place of you commissioning us, sending us out. We want to be those men and women that as we go, we are making disciples. And again, I want to say it. There is a field that God has put before you. That field includes people. It includes a profession. It includes family. And God has entrusted you with this field. This is your place of influence. Go and dream my dreams in that place. Because see, there's dreams in God's heart for the people in your field, for the field itself, for that occupation, for that entire field of work or study or whatever it is. There are dreams in God's heart to have godly influence in those areas. And he's looking for men and women who will say, God, send me. That as I go, I want to make disciples. I want to follow you. And I want to see other people influenced for your glory. So God, I just pray that tonight there would be a conviction on our hearts. That we would be compelled to follow you. That we would jump into the process of being commissioned by you and being sent. Lord, let us put our hope in you. God, I pray that across the room tonight, just a revelation of your goodness, of who you are, would fall on our hearts and our minds. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are here. And I thank you that you have plans and purposes for each one of us. Lord, we love you. We pray these things in your name.